TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. Greg Palast, Voter Fraud and Electronic Voting in America. In his international bestseller, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, the investigative journalist Greg Palast outlined how the Florida vote was rigged to exclude black voters and throw the election to George W. Bush. Greg Palast found that in the last U.S. election, 1.9 million votes were cast but not counted. Palast makes the case that this is intentional and that electronic voting is being introduced to make it easy to continue such fraud into the future. Greg Palast spoke in April of 2004 at Sonoma State University at an event organized by Project Censored. Project Censored honors investigative work that has been ignored or suppressed in the U.S. media. Greg Palast writes for the British paper, The Guardian, and makes films for the BBC. His investigative work is not shown or reported on in the mass media of the U.S., where he was born. Here is Greg Palast.
Last time I wrote about the theft of the election in Florida in 2000, so I thought I better do it beforehand, the theft of 2004 beforehand, give you a little running start. But what happened in 2000, night of the election, I'm watching my own television show. The main thing, we were getting reports out of Florida where the count was still on, still unknown, flashing blue and red and blue and red. And all these black people were coming in front of the television camera saying, I couldn't vote in Florida. My name was not on the voter registries, or, they called me a criminal, I can't vote. One black face after another on BBC, which, by the way, I'm called a conspiracy nut, which always gets a laugh from the conspirators, right? And So I, in my conspiracy nut mind, I'm thinking there's a computer program which is zeroing in on black folk. And so that's why, I brought that here tonight, the program that erases the black votes from the voter files, see? And this is from the office of Catherine Harris, Secretary of State, to CD-ROM disks that we cracked and put into a spreadsheet. This is a list of 57,000. Turns out we now know since the last edition it was 94,000. You'll see in the new edition, 94,000 names altogether. A list of people who are actually criminals and are not allowed to vote in Florida, says Harris. Bad people who committed felonies and therefore cannot vote. And people like this one, this guy here, Thomas Cooper, who is convicted of a felony on the 30th of January, 2007. Yeah, see? And, wow. See, that's why I'm such a great investigative reporter. Yeah, I caught my eye right away. Actually, what's funny is that the Palm Beach Post went through this stuff, and I said, oh, okay. There are 500 in this list that I have, 500 criminals of the future. Now, the question was, so they lost their civil rights. Now, was it deliberate? Well, I went back into the emails within the operation. Harris's predecessor, who was also protege of Bush, and the email said, hey, we're eliminating people off the voter rolls who are shown as convicted in the future. What do we do? How about maybe give them back to civil rights? No, according to the Republican functionaries, their answer was, if you blank out the conviction dates, no one will know. There are 4,000 blank conviction dates on my list. 4,000 people convicted on date nothing. But what were they guilty of then? 90.2% of the people on this list, minimum, 90.2% of the people on this list are innocent of any crime But that doesn't mean that they're not guilty. See, because if you look over in the right column, black, black, white, black, black, white. See, the race is right there. They knew. And if you add it up, remember, it's innocent people. 54% of the names on this list are African American, or black, or not, and Hispanic. 54%. Okay. 94,000 names targeted. And that was your election. Now I want to talk to you about what's happened since we last met, because I've told you that story, and if you didn't know it, I need to tell you again, because now we got to know what's happened. Our president has signed a law to fix the problem called the Help Americans Vote Act. And when our president tells us he's going to help us vote, I get a little worried. I better read this thing. It's 600 pages long. That's lots of help. And in there, if you tiptoe through this little 600-page swamp of democracy, there is a provision which requires every state to computerize and purge their voter rolls, handing the authority to 50 secretaries of state, taking it out of the counties, putting in the Secretary of State office, 50 Catherine Harris's. And their eyes light up. In Illinois, the guy, the Secretary of State there, who just got convicted of felony, said, "We can handle it." Yeah. Two parties. What's a party for? I went back to Florida since we last met a couple months ago, met with the people. NAACP sued Catherine Harris, by the way, after they got my info. They sued her, and they won. They won, and they got the agreement for them to return the people to the voter rolls. So I went down and met with Willie Steen, one of the people on the list. I said, "So, Willie, so are you voting now?" He said, "No." See, Willie's problem is that, unlike our president, he served honorably in the Army for 4 years, and he works in a hospital. You can't work in a hospital if you have any felony record. But he's still on the list, and, you know, he's still, and of course, he admits he's still African-American. Just like it says on the list. And they're still off the list, despite the laws, despite everything. The purges are marching across the country. But something else came to my attention. James Baker, I was thinking about something he said. He said, "The votes were counted 6 times. Don't look at the 180,000 votes in the dumpster. 180,000 votes in the dumpsters. 180,000 votes cast but not counted in Florida." Okay? So I asked a simple question. Whose votes? Was it random? Okay? Was it random? These are spoiled votes, they call them. You know, how do you spoil a vote? Do you leave it out of the fridge? I mean, you know. Good question. So, spoil votes are ones that were mismarked, and the intent of the voter could not be discerned. I saw some of them. Al Gore's name was circled. Al Gore's name was written Al Gore. But that were kicked out by optical readers, and therefore spoiled, because Catherine Harris said she could not discern the intent of the voter who wrote Al Gore. She knew he made a mistake. So the reason I found this is what type of voters are losing their votes. And I found this actually, frankly, by accident. I was in Tallahassee, in Leon County, and there was a voting machine set up to test. It looked just like this podium. You marked your ballot, paper ballot, and you stick it into a slot in the machine, and it reads it. So I marked, you know, Nader and Buchanan. And I stuck it in the machine. In. And then it went back. Came back out at me. I stuck it in. And it went. Came back out at me. Call over clerk. I said, "What is this?" She says, "Well, you made a mistake on the ballot. You overvoted. There's 2 marks. "Well, what happens now?" She says, "Well, you get another ballot. We show you how that you made a mistake. Or there's some wrong mark. And you get another ballot." And I said, "Now, wait a minute. if it comes back to you and you get another ballot, how do votes spoil? She said, they don't here. They don't here in Tallahassee. I said, well, wait a minute. Gadsden County, the blackest in Florida of 67 counties, highest proportion of black voters, highest number of spoiled votes, 1 in 8 votes simply never counted, thrown in the dumpster. I said, they had the same paper ballot. They have the same optical reader. How did that happen? He said, oh, well, see, in Gadsden, see, the readers are pulled out of the voting booth, and so they put their vote into the slot, and if they made a mistake, the vote is voided and thrown out. So in the white county, see, if you make a mistake, you get another ballot. In black county, you make a mistake, your vote is thrown out. County by county, the number of votes spoiled was directly proportional to the number of black people. That's how they set up the machines. Okay. So I brought this over to the Civil Rights Commission, and they put people on it far more sophisticated than me with statistics and investigation, and they went precinct by precinct throughout Florida, and they counted up the number of ballots in the dumpster, every ballot. And they then matched that against the demographics of the little precinct. You know, we go block by block in our census information in America. The U.S. Civil Rights Commission concluded this. This is not one of these documents I find buried. It's buried in plain sight, you know, like Appendix 14 of an official government report. There's a little line at the bottom. That's the white vote spoilage. 1.4% of white votes cast were not counted. That's not good. This big tall line, that's the black vote not counted. 14%. 14% of black votes cast were not counted in Florida. 10 to 1. If you're a black person, you are 10 times as likely to have your vote thrown out as a white person. 13% black population. Do a little junior high school arithmetic, and you can come out, you know, a little algebra, and you come out with the number, that magic number, 54% of the ballots spoiled were cast by black people. That is, of the 180,000 ballots, 90-some thousand cast by black people. Now, let's do a little bit more arithmetic that the U.S. Civil Rights Commission didn't want to touch. 93% of black people cast votes voted for Al Gore. The white and Hispanic population split their votes between Gore and Bush. If the ballots in the dumpster were counted, Al Gore would have won. He would have won. Al Gore won the state by 87,000 votes. It wasn't close. And I'm not talking, and forget the guys who were purged and weren't allowed to vote at all. But that's not the bad news. In fact, I was just talking yesterday to Chris Edley, who was U.S. Civil Rights Commissioner, and was at Harvard, and now is at the new dean of the University of California, Berkeley Law School. And we were discussing a fact that he said, not many people know, but they put the top statisticians at the Harvard University Law School and throughout the nation, the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. And I've looked at the raw data, we put it together. And this is the bad news. According to the statisticians, I quote, Florida is typical. Florida is typical. They counted up the ballots in the dumpsters around the nation. And in the 2000 election, 1.9 million votes were cast and not counted in America's democracy. 1.9 million votes were simply rejected for various technical reasons, like Al Gore's name being circled. Okay? And the ugly part is that, again, approximately half, 50%, were cast by African American voters. 1 million black votes missing. Okay? a pogrom against the black voter in America. We have a big 1 million vote Jim Crow thumb on that electoral scale. How does it go on? Where is the Democratic Party? The answer was that the worst spoilage in the nation was in rural Florida and in Georgia and in Chicago, Illinois, where the Democratic machine, as Mark Sweetland will tell you too, has survived because the party is majority black, the leaders are majority white, and the only way they can keep it that way is to let blacks pretend that they're voting but not count their ballots. All politics is local. All politics is local. And when I asked Terry McAuliffe about it, he shrugged his shoulders. And when I spoke to a member of the DNC who wouldn't be quoted, they said, look, Zell Miller does not want black voters voting in Georgia. Okay. So that's the story. I wish I had a good joke about that one. But I don't. We had 1965 Voting Rights Act after Martin Luther King was assassinated, which gave African Americans the right to vote in America, but not the right to have their vote counted. Dean Edley at Berkeley has asked that if any of you are interested in working on this project, he's reestablishing the Harvard project on this matter at Berkeley, and he's looking for some help and volunteers, legal, statistical, you know, computer, whatever skills you can bring to bear on this. I want some help here, which is you got to tell the truth on them. You know, go ahead and take the new chapter of the book and spread it around. You know, even after they got your orange suit, just tuck it in there. But that's the beginning. So how do you keep it rolling, this million vote Jim Crow margin? You got to keep changing the machines. And one way you do it, so under the Helping Americans Vote Act, they've got nearly $4 billion to help us computerize. Congratulations, California. And now the trick, hey, don't complain. You may have already voted in 2004. They just haven't told you how. How computer voting has worked. First of all, and I know in California you're looking at the problem that it's too expensive to Enron and the energy companies for you to actually have a vote in California that can count. So there will be no verification here of the ballots. In Texas it was tried out, Comal County. There was a surprise upset victory by Republicans in Comal when they put in the new Ivotronics computers, and each of the Republican candidates won with 18,181 votes. Joy Streets, the Republican County Elections Commissioner, said, isn't that the weirdest thing just by coincidence? Now, in Scurry County next door, they also put in the Ivotronics machines. And then there was another Republican upset, which was just one big coinky-dink too many for the Democrats in that county. But they had a method of verification, which they had set up, so they verified the count, and golly, the Democrats had won that race. So that's been taken care of, so there will not be verification anymore. Okay, now, though, of course, most of you are savvy enough to know that they give you a piece of paper. That ain't enough. But, hey, you get a receipt when you buy a Slurpee at a 7-Eleven. Yeah. It's okay. They'll be appointing Jerry Bremer here pretty soon. So Catherine Harris also tested the computer. See, after disaster in Florida, but it wasn't disaster. One man's voting disaster is another man's inauguration, right? So after the inauguration, Catherine Harris says, oh, we're getting rid of hanging chads and all that stuff. We're going to go digital. Okay. In fact, Gadsden County, they threw out the election supervisor who had the funny machines off-site where black people vote didn't count. And the black people voted that guy out of office, which surprised him. He didn't fix it enough. And The person that took over, fixed the machines. The next race, there was no spoilage in Gadsden. 16 votes in the entire county were lost. And so Catherine Harris ordered them to change the machines because they were working too well. And they now have to go digital, touchscreen voting. So Ivotronic, see, you've been hearing a lot about Diebold. My good friend Bev Harris done some really good work. This is a company that said there's no way that anyone could hack into our computers. No way that anyone could hack into our computers and get our secret files. And we're suing Bev Harris for hacking into our computers and getting the secret files. No one makes connections. But the biggest company is actually Ivotronics, which is founded by Republican Senator Hagel, who won office in Nebraska with a huge Republican, with a huge majority in the black precincts. Ask his opponent about that. So they tried out the Ivotronics machines in Broward County, and in the white precincts they worked pretty well. In the black precincts, they couldn't find the passwords. The machines crashed. Technicians couldn't figure out how to get, you know, said we'll get there tomorrow, you know, after the election's over. Thousands and thousands of black votes were not counted in Broward County in the test in Florida. Thousands. It was a disaster, which Jeb Bush fixed. He fired the black woman in charge of the election in Broward County. Okay. Thousands of black votes not counted on those Ivotronics machines. In other words, they work perfectly. And so they're rolling it out across the country. But you know all about this, right? You saw that. I actually brought this to the LA Times, which ran, by the way, they did run a great story on me, a profile, a great investigative report. I said, okay, thank you very much. How about you run actually one of my stories? like a million black votes not cast and not counted. Oh, well, that's difficult. And you almost saw this on, you saw this on CBS, well, almost, Dan's show. CBS television called me and said, we love that story about the voters in Florida, the black voters losing their stuff. Can we run the story? I said, sure. They said, give us some new material. I said, look, you're a competitor, but, you know, what the heck? I'm American. I want this story to come across. And they said, well, give us something new. And we said, oh, I said, okay, Jeb Bush. His office, not just Catherine Harris, but Jeb Bush, the governor's office, was involved in ordering, illegally ordering the removal of tens of thousands of legal voters from the Florida voter rolls. In fact, later the U.S. Civil Rights Commission said this was the most egregious case of deliberate racial bias in the event of the vote in Florida. This was the smoking gun. And I said, but I know this. Because this directive has been read to me. It's dated September 18th, 2000. Two sources have read to me the entire document, the date, the signature, the whole thing. But I don't have a physical document. Get that document or get more proof of it, and you got a story. I said, great! Oh, man, we'll run that story. But the next day, they didn't run that story, and the next day, and the next day. And so I called them from London. Called Dan Rather's operation, CBS News, London, and said, so, what happened to the story? Greg, your story didn't stand up. Now, I hear this all the time. Your story didn't stand up. I said, okay, you know, how did you know that, though? I mean, how did you find out? Well, how did you investigate this? I said, well, we called Jeb Bush's office. Said it didn't have that letter. It had a different letter. It said something else. So, and I was looking for it, needed verification. And so I, you know, I was having trouble till I wrote an article for Harper's Magazine and got a response. I got a letter. Greg Palast is twisted and maniacal and went on and on. This is Catherine Harris, right? Wrote my editor's screeching away. And but she said it's twisted my ankle, okay. But she didn't say it was wrong, see. She said everyone made me do it because she couldn't say I was wrong because she'd already signed off with the NAACP. But she said it's not my fault, it wasn't deliberate. I didn't do it. Everyone else told me to do that. I got a letter from the governor. Ooh. So I called up Harris's office. I call up Harris's office, and I don't say this is Mr. Twisted and Maniacal. I say, I got a letter from the Secretary of State, and she's discussing the purge of felons in Florida, and she said she got a letter from the governor, and I'm sure she wants me to see it. I'm quite sure it's dated September 18th, 2000. Could you check her files and shoot that over to me so we can discuss it? And 10 minutes later in my fax machine... Dan, but I do want to leave you with this one thought from our president. It's what he said on March 17 last year, which I agree with. He said, "Do not fight for a dying regime. It is not worth your life." Thank you very much.
That was the investigative reporter Greg Palast. He spoke for Project Censored at Sonoma State University in Northern California in April of 2004. His international bestseller, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, has just been updated and reprinted. You heard part two of a one-hour talk that included Greg Palast's research on 9/11 and the Bush administration's plans to seize the Iraqi oil fields. You can find more information on Greg Palast's website, www.gregpalast.com. Palast is spelled P-A-L-A-S-T. Or go to the link to his website on TUC Radio's website, www.tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Look under newest programs. I hope you have a pen handy to take down a phone number. You can get information how to order a copy of this program with Greg Palast by calling us. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations. Your tape order is the only support we receive and makes it possible for us to stay on the air. Call us toll-free anytime at 877-TUC-TAPE for information on how to order. You can get your tape by mail or credit card, by phone or on the web. Our toll-free phone number 877-TUC-TAPE translates into 877-882-8273. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.